Nicholas Sarwark, who is the chair of the Libertarian National Committee. He's on the line. He's my next guest. Hey, Nicholas.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fabulous.
Good. Well, we wanted to have you on because all of the talk yesterday was really about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton as it relates to whether or not these two individuals are acceptable to the American people to become the next president. As you know, Donald Trump is lagging in the polls by about 10 points, depending on which poll that you read. Hillary Clinton is about, I don't know, hovering about 49%, give or take a couple of points. But when you take a look at their unfavorable ratings, they're both pretty much on parity with respect to people saying, you know what, I'm not really loving Hillary Clinton, and I'm definitely not loving Donald Trump, so therefore I'm not loving my choices for president. You know, I said over and over and over again yesterday, but you do have other options. You do have the Libertarian Party. You have the Green Party. You have some other parties out there that you can choose. And one of my guests yesterday pretty much said, yeah, right, Robert, of course, they have other options. But the reality is that 164 days from now, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump will be our president. That's just the way the system is designed. What is your response?
First, you know, this is the first time that I can remember that both of the old party presidential candidates have had majority unfavorables before the election. You know, more people hate them than don't. And this is, you know, 90 days out. As far as all of the options that people have, there's only one other political party that will have our candidate on the ballot in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. So there are three candidates that every single American could choose this November. One of them is a reality show star who's kind of a bully. One of them is a lackluster Secretary of State who's kind of a bully, and one of them's an experienced two-term governor who's not a bully, and that's Gary Johnson.
You so tweeted out,
if you get beyond party, get beyond, you know, personality, and just look at qualifications, we're running the only really qualified candidate for president and the only one that people like.
You tweeted out yesterday, quote, with Washington and New Jersey confirmed, Gary Johnson is on the ballot in 38 states. What is your recommendation for folks out there that are saying, I don't know a lot about Gary Johnson, but I know a lot about Donald Trump, and I know a lot about Hillary Clinton, and I'm not sure I like my options? In other words, why should folks choose Gary Johnson for president?
Sure. 38 states is what was done as of yesterday. The way the laws work in the various states, they have different turn-in procedures, but we're going to be on in all 50. My recommendation is they find out more about Gary Johnson. They can go to johnsonweld.com. You can just Google Gary Johnson. Check out all your options. I mean, I encourage people to look into both of the bullies that the old parties are running. Really look at what their positions are, what they're proposing. Because right now you have an election that basically the voters walking up to the schoolhouse, you got off the bus, and there's two guys standing out in front, or a guy and a lady. Then, you know, one of us is going to take your lunch money. And because we're bigger, you have to pick between which one of us is going to take your lunch money. And we're offering a candidate that's not a bully trying to take your lunch money.
Nicholas, what is your response when some Republicans say the only reason why Gary Johnson and Governor Weld are in the race is to siphon off votes from Donald Trump, which would deny him the 270 that he needs to win the White House?
You know, it's not the most insane thing that I've heard from Republicans. You know, this idea that somehow we've spent 45 years building up a political party dedicated to the idea that every American has a right to pursue happiness any way they choose, as long as they don't hurt other people or take their stuff, building up an infrastructure in all 50 states just to screw over the relatively unqualified person that the Republicans decided to nominate. I mean, that level of narcissism is not surprising, but it's kind of disappointing. You know, we're offering an option for a candidate who wants to let you run your own life, who wants to let you make your own choices, and who doesn't want to keep getting us involved in foreign wars and doesn't want to keep spending your children and grandchildren's money on failed government programs.
You know, this Libertarian ticket, to my knowledge, is the first ticket in at least a generation where two governors former governors are on the national ticket. Gary Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm doing this from memory, he was the 29th governor of New Mexico from 1995 to 2003. And then you also had Governor Bill Weld, who was the governor of Massachusetts as the vice presidential nominee on the Libertarian ticket. Walk me through, Nicholas, or walk us through specifically why this executive experience at the national level is good for American politics today.
Because both of those governors, Gary Johnson had two terms in New Mexico. He would have had a third if there weren't term limits there. Bill Weld had two terms in Massachusetts. Both of them were elected as Republicans in heavily Democratic states. I mean, Massachusetts and New Mexico are at least 2-1. Then they governed like libertarians, cutting spending, improving the economy, getting out of people's lives, proposing to decriminalize or legalize marijuana, supporting gay marriage before it was cool. And then they got reelected by resounding margins in those same states. So those have to be the people who are most uniquely qualified to be president in a system of divided and just nasty partisanship that we have right now in this country. You know, both of the old party nominees are going to increase the rancor in our politics. They're going to increase the partisan divide, as you can see by the level of unfavorables they already have. Only Governors Johnson and Weld are going to be able to actually bring the country together and turn some of this around.
Bill Weld was the governor of Massachusetts from 1991 to 1997. You mentioned a few moments ago that you will be in all 50 states soon. What is your mechanism to get on all 50 states or the 12 additional states that you need, let's say, by Election Day? How are you doing that?
It's petitions and ballot access. The two old parties try to cheat with both hands to make sure that we have to run a marathon before we get to the start line of the marathon. So the party spent almost $500,000 this year in collecting petition signatures to get on the ballot, while the two old parties get on automatically in most places. They think that that's fair. I would disagree, but I've long since given up complaining about an unfair system. And so if your opponent cheats, you still win.
Nicholas, we know that money is the mother's milk of politics. According to recent reports, Hillary Clinton is expected to raise and spend $1.5 billion between now and Election Day on November 8th. Donald Trump, as we know, is spending a lot of his own money in this race in terms of staff and so forth. He has yet to put up one political ad, but he did raise upwards of $80 million in July. So this is a lot of money, clearly, on both sides. We know that both sides are determined to win. What's unclear to me, Nicholas, is how you all raise that amount of money to be able to compete in all 50 states.
God, I hope they raise that much money. I mean, you have candidates who have topped out for name recognition and are trying to top out for unfavorables. They're going to need that money to try and trick the American people. You know, we have a much better path to the White House because Gary Johnson's just a likable, qualified, honest adult in the room. And all we really have to do is increase name recognition in order to increase our standing in the polls. So,
yeah, but in order to increase name recognition, unfortunately, you need to spend a lot of money to do that. And it's unclear to me how you're going to do that.
Yeah. So basically right now, what we're working on is advertising to increase Johnson's name recognition, which is increasing his polling numbers. Once the polling numbers get beyond 15% in an average of 5 polls, then he'll be in the national televised debates. Once he's in the national televised debates, then kind of all bets are off from there, because then he'll be exposed to the American people. I think the estimates are that the first debate is likely to gather an audience share that's bigger than the Super Bowl. So really, it's a lot less work for us, but fundraising has been going awesome. You know, the Johnson campaign is raising a ton of money. There's a joint victory fund. I know of at least 4 super PACs that are working on behalf of Johnson. The Libertarian National Committee has had fundraising that's gone kind of through the roof. So right now, there are a lot of people in this country who are thirsty for an option that's sane and competent and adult. And the two old parties have decided that they'd like to kill themselves in front of us by nominating people who aren't.
How much have you raised so far?
The campaign, as of the end of June, just the direct campaign, was up to $1.3 million.
So 1.3
I think that
million.
they've matched that this month. I think I'm pretty sure July is going to double that. I mean, we're on an accelerating path that's much faster as far as the increases than the old parties, because up to the end of May, the campaign had only raised 700,000. So we went 700 to 1.3 million. And then I think that when the end of July numbers come out, we'll probably be pushing on three.
So that's a lot of money. I don't want to belittle that, but that's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things when you're trying to compete in big battleground states such as Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
But
Last
we're
question.
not.
Okay, so what states are you competing in?
So right now we're on a different strategic path than the two old party candidates. They're fighting over the battleground states. We're going everywhere that they're not. They increase the name recognition and raise the poll numbers to get into the national debates. So we're fighting a different battle than they're fighting.
So, okay, I understand that. So strategically, how do you get into the presidential debates? There's going to be three scheduled for the fall with one vice presidential debate. You mentioned a few moments ago that you need to average 15% in what the last five polls. How are you going to do that besides naming your raising your name ID? Or if that's the only strategy?
That's really the only strategy we need. If you look at it right now, Johnson has something like 35% name recognition and is averaging, the last CNN poll I saw was at 13, the last Fox poll was at 12. So if you have 35% name recognition and you're polling 12%, if you can bump yourself to 60% name recognition or 70% name recognition, the math just works that you go up to into the 20s.
All right, Nicholas, if I'm in my car right now driving to work, or perhaps maybe I'm dropping the kids off to school, or perhaps maybe I'm in my truck heading to the West Coast, how do I get more information about Governor Johnson and Governor Weld? How do I get more information about the libertarian movement? You got 30 seconds to, this is a 30-second infomercial for you. Go.
Sure. To find out more about Governor Johnson and Weld, go to johnsonweld.com or just Google Gary Johnson. It's probably the first thing that pops up. To find out more about the Libertarian Party, just visit lp.org. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. I'm at msarwark.
And hypothetically, if Governor Johnson and Governor Weld do not make it to the finish line, in other words, they do not qualify for the 15% to go to the debates, what is your strategy then, hypothetically?
We have contingency plans, but I'm kind of focused on plan A right now rather than going into plan B.
All right, Nicholas Sarwark, the chair of the Libertarian National Committee. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.